worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Sing it, you are here. You are here. You're moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Sing Waymaker. Waymaker. Miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Sing it again, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, way maker, miracle worker, keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here. You are here. You're touching every heart. I worship you. God, I worship you. You are here. You're healing every heart. I worship you.
You. Oh,
broken heart. You are the answer to it all. Jesus, you wipe away all tears. You mend the broken heart. You are the answer to it all. Yes, Lord. Jesus, oh, you wipe away all tears. You mend the broken heart. You are the answer to it all.
In the darkness, that is who you are. Oh, we make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Yes, you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Thank you, Jesus. There is no place that you are not. You are everywhere present. Forever with us. You know everything. There's nothing that you do not know. There is nothing about to happen that you did not see. There is nothing that has happened that you did not see or know about. You know fully about the past. You know fully about the present. You know fully about the future. You have the ability to address every single person in the earth, to deal with everyone that has come and gone, those that are here, those yet to be born. You are aware of every detail. And so we are convinced this day that a good God, a loving God, a God who is all-powerful, everywhere present, all-knowing, will always do the right thing for his people. And when evil comes our way, you flip it around and you turn that which was bad to good. So we rest in your love, God, who here is, who here was, and who here will forever be, God forever, our way maker, our miracle worker, our light in the darkness. That's who you are. And your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yeshua. We give you praise. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. You are here. Hallelujah. Moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, touching everyone. Worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. We worship you. We worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Is he that to you? Then sing it one more time. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yeah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is your way maker. Glory be to God. Your miracle worker. You know, when God does a miracle, he breaks all the rules. He speedifies. Yes, that's my new word. I like it. Speedify. Praise God. He makes impossible situations possible. He goes to places that you cannot go and tweaks and fixes things. Hallelujah. He does not shy away from trouble. Amen. Because he's the master fixer. Glory be to God. We have much to give God thanks for. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, tonight I want to attempt to get some thoughts across to us as we explore that subject, breaking the cycle of slackness. If there's one thing that the enemy wants to establish in the lives of God's people, it's this mindset of being slack. When you're slack, you've not really stopped. You just started tolerating certain things, eased off on certain things that are of importance, but you really didn't give up completely. It is the perfect definition of living in the world of lukewarmness. Slacking. God hates it. And you and I need to hate it with a passion. Being slack. When you slack with your finances, things begin to happen. When you slack with your family, things begin to happen. Never for the better. And we want to guard against what generates that atmosphere that causes slackness to become an industry in itself. Because when you start slacking everywhere. It has this tendency to affect everything in your life, slackness. And so God talks to us about getting back to our first love. During this time of the so-called pandemic, a lot of believers have begun slacking. I was asking the Lord this evening while I was coming to the service. I said, what exactly is on your mind when you said to talk about this subject? He said, because there's so many of my children that are slacking. During this pandemic, they are slacking. Their first love is withered away. Their passion for the things of God. They found many more excuses. Oh, well, the service is on YouTube, so I watch it. I watch it on YouTube. I watch it on Zoom. I watch it when you have your 2 feet and you can walk and you have a vehicle and you can drive and nobody is stopping you when the doors are open. Even as little as it is, there's no push. And the devil is watching. He's watching. I shut that door And they eased off. They said slacking. Maybe I'll shut it more times. Until I get the rest of them. And the devil has his agenda, but God has his agenda. And God is ahead of the game. Because we will not be slack. Amen? Slackness is not part of our lives. Praise God. Have you noticed that when if you sleep too long, you get tired? Everything starts aching. That's a sign you've slept too long. Well, some of you are already aching, maybe not those that are here, because certainly you are not slack, you came. You're here. But as some of you that are listening to me right now, you slack and everything is aching. Your spiritual compass is off. It's just spinning all over the place. And you stuck. You need to get unstuck. You need to break that cycle. Stop it. You get used to doing the wrong thing and you continue doing it. Everything continues in the direction that they are moving in until something stops it. It's a law. Everything moves in that same direction until something stops it. Until it loses momentum, then it stops. I don't know what it is that the enemy is busy doing in your life that you've not stopped yet. You've accepted it. Well, I guess that's the way it is. Well, if it is not truth, then that's not the way it is. Amen? If it is not the truth of God's word, you can't find it in the word of God, and God says, that's good, then that's not the way it's supposed to be. You cannot sit down and accept poverty or sit down and accept financial loss and say, that's the way it's supposed to be. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It is not meant to be so. And somebody has to change it. And we shared in the Word of God this morning about how meditating on the Word of God will cause you and I to come to that place where we make ourselves, make your way prosperous. And you have good success by meditating on the Word of God, by exploring the Word of God. Have you taken time to read and find out what the answer is? Or to even identify the problem that you are facing? Or spend time to talk to God and say, God, I don't know what problem I'm facing. I know I've got a problem. I don't know what the source of this problem is. What is it that I need to know? What is it that I need to know to get me out of this mess? Because I'm tired of being in this state. This is not your will. It's not your will. A woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years heard that Jesus was in town. She had spent all of her money, but wasn't getting better. But she made a decision. Even though the law said she shouldn't hang around people because she's going to defile them. And if she got caught in that state, she'll be in big, big trouble. She made a decision. I am going to touch the hem of his garment. Amen? I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, and I know I'm going to be well. I have nothing to lose. I've already spent all my money. So I don't have any money to live on. So today I'm going to get a miracle. Because I find that there's healing in his wings. And the talit of Jesus had the wings. And so she went and Haptamai grabbed a hold of that hem of his garment. But even when her hand was off, because Jesus said, who touched me? He wouldn't be asking that kind of a silly question if the woman was still grabbing on. But the word that the Bible uses about touching his garment was a word of fastening, holding on to. So while her hand was off, she was still stuck to that garment. She was not slack. She got a miracle. And Jairus, who had a child that was 12 years old, that was dying, had Jesus going with him to his house. And news came, and they said to him, don't bother the master. Your daughter is dead. And Jesus stopped and said, don't slack. In a nutshell, don't slack. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. Luke 8:49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue, so saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. In other words, slack. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not. Believe what? Only. And she shall be made whole. Lazarus is dead. Martha comes to him and he says, I am the resurrection and the life, in John 11. I am the resurrection and life. If you believe, you shall not die. When Mary came and was repeating the same thing, he reminded her, did I ever tell you something? Just stay in faith. Stay in faith. If I said this sickness is not unto death, and that's the message I sent to you, then understand that this sickness is not unto death. It doesn't matter what has happened right now. That death is staring you in the face, and it looks like I lied to you. But I want you to know, I don't lie. God does not lie. Hallelujah. He does not lie. What he said is what he meant. Whatever promise you find in the Word of God is a promise that God wants you to take a hold of and run with, no matter what you see. For we do not live by sight, we live by faith. By faith. My body might be telling me something, but I must believe the language of faith. By whose stripes ye were healed. If I were healed, I am the healed. I walk in divine health. And guess what you need to do? Do what the body tells you that you should not be able to do. When the Word of God says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You bone, you muscle, whatever it is that you are that is causing me pain right now, you bless the name of the Lord. And if you don't want to bless the name of the Lord, you shall be replaced right now. In the name of Jesus, I place an order for brand new muscles. Glory be to God. Brand new kidneys. Come into the Word of God says in Psalm 139 that God has spare parts. I place an order for spare parts. Is that what you do when your car breaks down? You get new parts. Hallelujah. And if you don't like that car, you change the whole thing. Praise the Lord. I say to the Lord, overhaul. My youth is renewed. Don't let me talk by myself tonight. Talk back to me. Oh, Jesus is Lord. In James chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 18, breaking the cycle of slackness. The man of God says, yea, men say, thou hast faith, and I have works. He says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee, praise the Lord. 2:18, don't move away from that. It says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works, by my actions. I'll show you my faith by my actions. God is saying to us something very clear. Faith without works is dead. Verse 19 says this. Thou believest that there is one God. That's good. Thou doest well. The devils also believe that there is one God. And they tremble. So you've not done anything different. I believe in God. Yeah, so? Even devils believe in that. And Ezra says this, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You've got faith. You heard the word of God. You've got faith. And he says, what is your corresponding action? What else are you doing to show forth that you really believe? That what God said is what God meant. And that what God said is what is. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? His action was the proof that he had faith. Amen? Talk is cheap. Yeah, talk is cheap. Yes, it's good to prophesy, but you've prophesied. But what are you doing to match up with what you said? Abraham proved it. He brought his son, put him on that altar. And God said, I see your faith. I see it. I see your faith. 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? How they both worked together. And by works was faith. And by works was faith. And by works was faith made perfect. Don't slack. It's not just the talk. It's the action. Don't slow down. But what if it didn't happen? That's none of your business. It's better for you to believe and not see the manifestation of it, because you won't be the first. Hebrews 11 tells us about the people that believed and did not see the manifestation, but God put them in the hallmark of faith. Because it was not for them to see the manifestation. It was for us to see the manifestation. But because of what they did, we now see. Amen? Some things may not happen in your lifetime, but generations later, you see the fruitfulness of the seed sown. Praise God. We live in a very superficial world where we don't connect with the spiritual integrity of God. 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Because of his action, God says, this my friend. This is my friend. You know why God calls him his friend? Because he was cooperating with God. Because when you resist God, and the only one that can resist God is you. Did you know that? Really? You're the only one that can resist God. Resist God from doing what God wants to do. Make it impossible. For the Bible says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. And when God is not pleased, the Bible says, Jesus was not able to do much great miracles in his hometown because the people did not connect from that level of faith, of honor. You can slow down what God wants to do in your life. But I believe that we can make that decision today to choose to follow God and believe God and recognize that he's well able to do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen? 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Not by faith only. Not by faith only. 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? And 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Watch this. This is crucial. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Say it with me. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith equaling the body. Look at that. Without works, equaling the spirit. So, what is God saying? Your actions are just as spiritual. My actions are spiritual acts in the sight of God. What you are doing that you think is so mundane is a spiritual act. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God, he that comes to God, he that comes to God must believe that he is. Two. And that he is a rewarder. God is, and he's a rewarder. Of whom? The one that comes? No. Of the one who diligently seeks him. that you pursue after God. Diligence. Committed focus. He says, I reward diligence. Not just the fact that you came. Not just the fact that you believe that I'm a rewarder. But that you continue to believe that I'm a rewarder when it seems like the reward is not here. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. Really? How did you know? You did not stick with me. I knew it was going to happen. So you knew it was going to happen. Well, how come you quit? You know, sometimes we don't want to ask those kind of questions because, you know, asking those kind of questions, that might be a little bit intrusive and insultive and judgmental and critical and whatever else. Go deal with God. Go deal with God. If you don't continue to the end, you're not his disciple. Is that what it says? Or did I make that up? It's right there in John 8. In John chapter 8, he said to his disciples, these were people that came and were hanging around. He says, you are my disciples for a fact. Indeed, if you continue in my word, says that's when you're my disciple. Not who's all who say, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. God doesn't want my talk. He wants to see my action. Amen? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. They believed on him. Just like the devil believes in God. The devil believes in God and trembles. Has he repented? Has he changed? No. He's still doing the crazy stuff that devils do. And after he's put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, he comes out with the same spots and stripes and acts the same crazy way. Oh, the presence of God was so strong. Oh, I was shaken under the anointing. Hallelujah. I fell under the power of God. Oh, glory. When we got up from that falling under the power, what happened? Was there any change? It's a question I need to ask. Fell under the power of God. Oh, the power of God was so strong. Oh, goosebump was jumping over goosebump. Hallelujah. My hair stood up like donkeys. Yeah. And I spoke in tongues. Glory to God. I saw visions. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. There was a man called Balaam that was seeing all kinds of stuff. But did not continue. It's about continuing, not slacking, staying focused, contending for the things of the faith. Listen, may I say something to you that's of utmost importance? You may not be smart enough to discuss theological issues, and somebody may ask you a big question and bamboozle you with their statistics and data and everything else, that and you want to start doubting whether there is a God or not because they bamboozled you. The devil is such a liar, and he can bring all kinds of stuff. And the thing about the devil and his lying spirit is this, that he mixes, you see, a good lie has some element of truth to it. See? And so the enemy will, while he's lying, give you some elements of truth and then mix it up with some lies. Right? For example, We can look at the nations of the world today, and there are some nations that are based, very strongly based with religious belief systems built into their system. And that's how they run what they run. Now, there are some nations that believe in God, and that is what they believe, but they are secular in the sense that they allow you to do whatever it is that you want to do. So we have a nation like Israel that should be a theocracy because they believe strongly in God, but it's also very secular. So all kinds of things happen, right? So if I come to you and I say, how come you're believing in God? This Bible that you are reading, you think this Bible is the Word of God? If it is the Word of God, how come the people in Israel don't follow it? How come there are so many secular people in there? And I start pushing that. Or I go to the Danish nations and tell you, look at this country. This country here, it's a secular nation, and they're doing very well. They're secular, and they don't believe in God because they're secular. That's a lie. But it sounds very true. And you can be argued down, but the fact is, if you go and you check that nation, you'll find out that most of the people are there to Christian belief systems. But they say, let's leave together. It's okay. You want to live that way? Your choice, you and God. But if I pushed one part of it, then I will be saying the Danish nation is a religious nation because there's 70% or 80% of the people are of the Christian faith. Now that's way higher than Canada. Are you with me? So if you say 70-something percent of a nation believe in the Word of God, and I say, that's a religious nation, I'll be lying because that's not the truth. Oh, they don't need the gospel. They need the gospel because of that 70-something percent of the people, not all of them are following the things of God. A nation like Nigeria, well, they've got some of the biggest churches, and the churches are incredible. You want to have church, you go to Nigeria. You go to some of these African nations. Now, if I say 50-something percent of the people in Nigeria are faith-believing Christians, I should at least expect that 20% of those people that are working should be good managers. They will not steal your money when you start a business with them. But lo and behold, church folks are busy taking money from the tilt and shafting their owners. So the owners go to a country like India that are Hindus to go get managers from there to run their businesses. So the Hindu is more trustworthy than the one who says, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We make a miracle. We make a miracle. One for the boss, 20 for me. Miracle worker, praise the Lord. I got a bigger tithe this week. Keep your nonsense tight, liar. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, don't assume anything. When we slack, we start assuming that things are okay when they are not. In our churches, there are people that come to church that are not married. They come to church every week, praise God, they do everything, but they're not married. They're living together. Think I'm kidding? It's happening. So I just assume that everybody is doing the right thing. No. You preach the word of God and you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and say what you got to say and do what you got to do. So it was, I don't know how many years now, 10, 15 years possibly. There was a couple, I just saw them for the first time, not been in here before. And they were sitting right there just behind where Sister Sherry's sitting. And the Lord says, those two are not married. Marry them today. How many of you remember this service? It happened. I called them out. I said, you're not married. Do you love her? And do you love him? Yes. Why are you not married? Money. I said, forget about the money. We're getting you married right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We got them married right there. Glory be to God. Why are we messing around? You either believe the word of God or you don't. If you believe it, do something. Amen? In Hebrews 10:23, my time is running off on me again. Oh, yes. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast. Hold fast. The profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Amen? Don't be wavering. A double-minded person, James tells us, should not expect to receive anything from God. Know the truth, continue in the truth. If you head in the wrong direction, repent. Repentance is a good thing. That's you saying, I'm not slacking concerning what the word of God says here. God is right and I'm wrong. I choose the way of God. I turn myself around right now and I say no to the devil and I say yes to God. Amen? Hallelujah. So if I was living together with somebody, I'll say to the person, listen, you love me? Yes. You want to marry me? Yes. Okay. We're going to the pastor and we are going to be legally married today. Or else, hit the road, Jack. This is as simple as that. Oh, but what? What am I going to do for money? Well, are you the same person who said the Lord is my provider? Are you the same person who's saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Choose what you want to do. Deal with the issue. Turn towards God. Oh, I'm not going to go to that church no more. Help yourself. If I believe that God is the head of the church and that he's the builder of the church, then I'm not depending on you because I'm not looking for numbers. And guess what? It says in Ezekiel 18 that as a watchman, if I see something is wrong and I don't say it, It says the person will die, but the person's blood will be in my hands. And guess what? I know this much as you like me, you're not going to stand for me and say, God, he's a good man. Oh, God, he is a wonderful man. Whatever God says is what goes. If God says, I'm a bad man, that's it. It doesn't matter whether there's 10 billion people on one side voting for me. One vote from God against me, my goose is cooked. So guess what? I'll be on God's side. Amen? I'll be on God's side right now. What does God's word say? That's what we're going to talk about. God says to me, don't slack. Don't stop preaching the gospel. The love of God. You don't love people if you don't tell them the truth. You don't love yourself if you don't tell yourself the truth. If I asked you this question, what were the final words of Jesus, our Lord? What would you say? Go and preach the gospel. His final words on the cross, it's finished. But his final words before he left was, go preach the gospel. Go make disciples of nations. Hallelujah. Not just of individuals, nations. That's how big God thinks what he's put inside of us is capable of addressing. He says, lo, I'm going to be with you always. Do I believe that? Or am I ready to fold at one slight push from the enemy? Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to take it from verse 6 through 10, but verse 9 will be my main verse that I want to address. But Galatians 6, starting from 6 to 10. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not what? Deceived. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Because or for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow corn, you're going to reap corn. If you sow apples, you're going to reap apples. God is not mocked. If you sow good, you're going to reap good. You sow evil, you're going to reap evil. God is not mocked. Don't let anybody deceive you that you're going to reap something different from what you sowed. Verse 8. For he that soweth, watch this, for he that soweth to his flesh, if you sow into us your flesh, you shall also of the flesh reap what? Corruption. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, if that everlasting life is in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's saying to us, he that sows into Jesus, invest in the things of God, you're going to reap life everlasting. And then verse 9. Watch this. And let us not be what? Weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Well, you know, they always give me back bad results. And God says, listen, you plant something. There are weeds. That's not your harvest. Yeah? That's not your harvest. If you sowed tomatoes, well, your harvest is not dandelions. That's a weed. What do you do with the weed? You weedex it. You get rid of the weed and give your seed that is now a plant to give you what it is meant to produce. Amen? Hallelujah. Your tomato plant may have yellow flowers just like the weed, but it's not the weed. Those yellow flowers are the burden for your fruitfulness that's coming. Is this true or not? So you give your seed the power of continuity by removing the weeds off, by removing the competition for nutrients away. The reality is this, that weeds know how to show up. You don't have to plant weeds. They just show up. You don't have to water weeds. You know, that's the annoying thing about weeds. You don't have to go water the weed and the weed keeps on growing. Anything that keeps on growing that is not right in your life and you're not watering it, get rid of it. It's a weed. It's a distraction. Now, that is not to say that dandelion is not good, because you can have tea from it. Did you know that? In some places, that's actually a flower. Yeah. But that's not the one you planted. And that's not the one you want. And that's not part of the agenda. So don't be slack in getting rid of it, because it's not part of the plan. If you are studying to be an engineer, you don't need anything to do with syringes. Hello? Someone comes, you're an engineer, and someone comes and starts handing you scalpel. What is this for? Well, this is for you. No, it's not for me. No, this is a distraction. This is occupying space that must not be occupied by that. Give me wrenches. Give me other kind of tools that work for the mechanical stuff that I'm called to do. We're in business. If stuff is coming into your life to distract you, push it away. Because as long as you occupy yourself with that, you will miss what the real deal is for your life. Don't be slack in your thinking, in understanding what is the good stuff and what the bad stuff is. In verse 10, let me do this. He says, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In other words, the word of God says here, do good. Keep on doing good. Do good to the man or woman of God that is ministering the word of God to you. Sow into his life and receive a harvest. But also sow into the lives of other people, so that the harvest continues to grow, because you are expanding your reach. Amen? Hallelujah. What else must we do if we are going to break the cycle of slackness? Luke 18, verse 1 tells us something. Luke 18 and verse 1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray and not to faint. Say it with me. Pray and not to faint. And he's hinting on something there, that when you don't pray, you're going to faint. Yeah? You need to pray. So, Pastor, I've been praying for such a long time. Yeah, the prayer is not necessarily about you getting something. It's about you being faithful and being consistent. Please get that point. Prayer has a particular agenda. Yes, you're going to get something at the end, but first and foremost, about you not fainting. Praise God. So, the Word of God says to us in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 17. Actually, I should take it from verse 16. Verse 16 tells us, first of all, he says, you need to do something. It says, rejoice. Amen? Rejoice evermore. Amen? Rejoice how? Evermore. Now, what is that evermore about? It's this. It is that no matter what is happening, just keep on rejoicing. Evermore. When something comes and says, you don't have a reason to rejoice, you rejoice even more. It says, rejoice evermore. And then it says, pray without what? Ceasing. That does not mean that you are praying 24/7. No, that's not the point. It's saying to us, let there not be a time that you step back from praying. Well, I don't think this is going to work. What am I doing this for? Blah, blah. No, it says, pray. Men ought always to pray and not slack, not faint. Pray without ceasing. Watch this. I like the rest of the verses. Just give me this moment so I don't have to discuss this. Let me just steal some time from you, if you may release it to me. He says, in everything we give thanks. In everything what we do what? Give thanks. That's another key to not slacken. In everything, give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, Pastor, I don't know the will of God. Right there, you got it. This is the will of God, that you are in the state of thanksgiving, that you rejoice evermore, that you pray without ceasing, and that you are thankful. It says, this is the will of God concerning you. Quench not the spirit. That right there is hint, hint. The reason you will be able to rejoice evermore, the reason you'll be able to pray without ceasing, the reason that you'll be able to perform that will of God concerning you, which is a will of thanksgiving, is for you not to quench the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God. And I'm going to show you in just a moment why that is key. Because this, what we're talking about, not slacking, is not what we are going to do in our own strength and ability. It is based on what God is doing. Amen? This is God. And so God says, quench not the Spirit. Let's go on. Despise not prophesying. What is that all about? Yes, it's talking about prophesying, but this is in relationship to you prophesying and declaring what is going to be in spite of the circumstances around you. When the circumstances say you're sick and you're going to die, you keep on prophesying, I shall live and not die, and oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You contradict everything that the enemy is saying. The enemy says you're going to die broke. You say, no, no, no. Wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. And by the way, I am righteous because I have received the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness is mine. I am walking in that righteousness. I have boldness and access to the presence of God. And if the righteous experience and have wealth and riches in their life, I am wealthy and I'm rich. I refuse your poverty. Amen? You prophesy. You declare the word of God. Praise God. This is how you change the dynamics. It goes on. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. This is a statement about discernment. Prove all things. You see the situation? It says, separate the chaff from the real deal. Don't accept any distractions and hold fast that which is good, that which you know is the right thing to have. Hold fast to that. So many people allow themselves to be deceived by whatever reason. Oh, this person is my friend, so I got to do whatever it is that they are doing. Really? If your child is hanging around some kid that he says, this is my friend, I'm going to do whatever it is that they're doing, and that other kid is busy grabbing and stealing stuff, you know, from Walmart, you say, oh, Sonny, oh, that's amazing. Oh, you're really faithful to your friend. Is that what you're going to do? No, you're going to tell that child, hey, this kid is trouble. Love him. But you cannot be doing what he's doing. Is that what a good parent will say? Praise God. On the same page. Let's go. 22. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. These are generic statements being made. But in the context of what we are talking about, breaking the cycle of slackness, he says, abstain from any appearance that shows that you are slacking. It's evil. Don't give it room. Praise the Lord. Next verse. Praise God. And the very God of peace. I want you to read this with me. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 24. And this is it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Do what? All those things. All those things. God will not quench his spirit. God will not allow the appearance of evil. So I can quote that word back to God and say, there seems to be an appearance of evil here because I'm driving a rust. This is an appearance of evil. This thing is saying, God is not good to me. Hallelujah. So, let's do it. Blessed be the name of the living God. Amen. God is not going to ask you to do anything that he himself cannot do or will not do. If God asked me to forgive somebody 70 times, 70 times in one day, guess what? He's got to be able to do the same thing. Yes? So until my change comes, while I'm falling all over the place, I keep on standing and I say, God is good. Bang, God is good. I'll make it. Bang, I'm drug free. Hallelujah, praise God. Bang, I'm not a drunk. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, you're going all over the place. Shaky. But God is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm drunk free. She. And one day, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hey, I can move whichever way I want to move by my will. Praise the Lord. You got it? Don't slack. Keep on believing. Know where you're going. You'll arrive. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bow your heads with me. We know that there is a God who has loved us with an everlasting love. Father, we come to you. We do not want to reap evil. We know that you're God and you cannot be mocked. But we do know that your word says that there was a planting of proper seeds, wheat. But the enemy came and sowed tares. You said an enemy had done this. We're asking, Father, today, Lord, O God, that where there are tares in our lives, things that do not belong, that you are present help in the time of trouble, that you'll uproot all such things out of our lives. We declare this day, O God, that any distraction, whether it be spiritual distraction by diabolical forces or natural distractions, Lord, O God, that every distraction be discerned and be put aside. You said to Elijah, through Elijah, if you want the double portion, then if you see me caught up, you can have the mantle. And there was the distraction of the chariots that came between Elijah and Elisha. But the fortitude and focus of Elijah did not allow the new attraction to separate his focus from the prophet Elijah. And as Elijah was taken up by the whirlwind, not by the chariot, but by the whirlwind, he cried out, "My father, my father." And that mantle was released unto him. We ask, O God, that this day that you will work in us so that we are forever focused on what the right thing is. There was nothing evil about the chariots of fire. Those same chariots are going to show up in Elisha's life in the days to come, as he stood with his prophet or servant. But that was not the right place for the chariots at that particular time. May we be discerning to know what is meant to be at the right time, everything in its proper order. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God to hear you, to do your will, and to fulfill your mandate. Let all distractions fail. Energize us, O God, to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, to be thankful, for that is your perfect will concerning us. We'll receive the grace to fulfill the mandate that you have for our lives. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for every one of you that took time to be here in the house of the Lord tonight and took time to receive the word of faith. May the Lord continue to encourage and establish you in your going out and in your coming in. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. that which God has placed in our hand. Let us release it. When you believe that God is your source, you never hold back from God. When you believe that God is a God who multiplies your seed sown, you never sow small. You always give your best. You always push to accomplish more. Amen? Because you know that God has his own perfect way of causing things to come into your hands. You want to be a distributor of the manifold blessings of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. And if you want to be a distributor of the blessings of God, learn how to start distributing by giving and see what God will do. Praise the Lord. God, listen, God uses man. He has always used man. He says, man will bring into your bosom. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men bring into your bosom. I've been surprised many times by the givings of God's people into my life. Not that I sought for something, but it came to me because God knew I needed something, or that somebody around me was going to need something that I didn't know about, and there it was. Praise the Lord. God causes us to feed into each other, bless each other, grow together. He says, don't slack in communicating with those that bring you the word of God, the good things that God has placed in your life. But not only with the man or woman of God, but to fellow saints. Do good. Amen? Hallelujah. So let us honor God with our giving today, and may the blessings of God pursue after us and overtake us. Amen. Praise God. Those of you that are online, I encourage you to do the same. May I say this to you? Don't ever hear the word of God and not give something. Don't wait, you know, I'm going to give in bulk down the line. Or I already gave so much and I'm going to give some. No, no. Every time you hear the word of God, give something. I don't care what it is that you give, but just sow something. Ecclesiastes says you don't know whether it's what you sowed in the morning or what you sowed in the evening that's going to bring the results that you need. So don't slack. Don't ever slack. Just keep on giving. Just keep on trusting. And God will do great things in your life. Praise God. All right. Well, bless you. See you on Wednesday and then on Friday. And be reminded that we are having a summit coming up, a conference coming up in May. May the 21st to the 23rd. That is captioned Spiritual Reset. Plan on being part of that conference. Pray for it. Position yourself to receive what God has for you. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And good night. God bless you. Let me say hello to those that are up on